This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee. Jonathan Hood, catch him on ESPN 1000, also each and every Sunday, part of the Busted Open crew, breaking down everything happening in the world of pro wrestling on Sirius XM. Welcome back, Hoodie Man. I've missed you. I mean, I've been responsible for trying to keep Brian Rowitz and the things that he says. I've been responsible solely for the last 2 weeks. So I'm glad to see you back, buddy.
I've left for a couple weeks because of that reason. That's the reason. Some time off. Now I'm refreshed and strong. I can take care of him now. I know you need me to be there in the ring to kind of bring him down a little bit. That's why I'm back. I'm ready. I'm refreshed and ready to go.
Well, unfortunately, Brian is the one on assignment this week, although he is still contributing to today's show because earlier today he had an opportunity to catch up with Karrion Kross. So we are going to hear that conversation coming up in a little bit. But Hoodie, it was a long weekend of professional wrestling. SmackDown on Saturday, Saturday night's main event, Double or Nothing, Monday Night Raw, all happening over the weekend. So who was the star of the long wrestling weekend is where we kick off today's show.
Well, kids, we're in a wrestling war, and that's what happens when you're in a wrestling war. If you're WWE, you want to step on AEW's toes and vice versa if possible, but that's what we got. There's a lot of product that we watch on Memorial Day weekend. That's supposed to be a weekend for you and I to be able to relax, put our feet up a little bit, have some fun. No, stay in the dungeon and watch wrestling, kids, as much all day and all night. So I have three people I wrote down. And I'll start with Bronson Reed, because I did not expect him to pop up at Saturday night's main event. And we know the history between Seth Rollins and Bronson Reed. You go, wait, how does this fit? And then they try to explain it to Monday Night Raw, and it still didn't make sense. Heyman tried, but there's really no sense of why Bronson Reed and Seth Rollins are on the same page. Okay, but they're part of this new alliance, so let's give Bronson his flowers.
Yeah, so the unfortunate answer, I think, what's going to end up being, because I was enjoying everything Bronson Reed was doing before War Games, right? The tsunamis, just destroying people. Braun Strowman, one of the last things he does for WWE on the way out, really puts over big Bronson Reed. And then Bronson, unfortunately, has the injury for doing the tsunami in the War Games match. And now he's back, which is great. But it kind of feels like to me he's the guy who's now going to be eating pins for the heel faction, right? Because you want to protect Seth Rollins as the leader. You're trying to build up Bron Breakker, a former IC champion who's got future world heavyweight champion written all over him someday. Like for me, Reed, unfortunately, feels like the guy who's going to end up eating a lot of those pins when they start doing these multi-tag matches or, you know, oh, you got to protect Seth, so you got to go through Bronson Reed first. Well, now he's going to be eating a pin. He's going to be eating a pin from Cody Rhodes sooner or later. I can tell you that.
My partner right there is a smart man because that's exactly what it is, right? Because Seth's the leader. Well, Paul's the leader, but then and then you know that Bron Breakker will break away from this and become a bigger character babyface than we already know. And Bronson Reed's the heater away from matches, but in matches, he's got to be able to take the pin. So I like that there's a step up for Bronson Reed, that he's aligning himself with Paul Heyman. I think that's great. So good for him, because I didn't see that coming from Saturday night's main event. And then from there, I'm going to give the flowers to Trick Williams for going over Joe Hendry.
Mm.
Trick Williams is the TNA champion. Again, Gabe, I don't understand relationship. Like, how much is NXT getting from this at all, if anything?
But this is what TNA's done. Like, when they align themselves with AEW, Kenny Omega was their world champion at one point. Christian Cage was their world champion at one point. Like, TNA is more than happy in these alliances that they form to just go, oh, someone from your company wants to be our world champion? Yep, by all means, go ahead. Here's our championship. Have at it, you know, have a lot of fun. Let's see what we can do with this, because they just enjoy the exposure. And look, I get it, because TNA Championship was featured on Dynamite. It was featured on pay-per-views for AEW. And now, I mean, it's not reaching, you know, the main roster of WWE, but I mean, NXT is on the CW. Like, it obviously has more distribution than Access, which I don't even have and have access to, which we've made that joke a bunch of times when it comes to TNA. So for them, they're like, Yeah, put our championship over Trick Williams' shoulder. Show him on Tuesday night on the CW. We're cool with that. We just want our name out there.
That's cool, but it's 95-5. It's not even 80-20. I'm like, wow. Like, and by the way, good for Trick Williams because he's really come into his own. Great on the mic. All of a sudden, he's looking like more and more like Booker T every day. Yeah, which is very interesting with the spin-a-rooney and the axe kick and all this other stuff. And so, you know, from NXT standpoint, it's great for their kids to be able to work more. Mm-hmm. They always do the coconut circle around Orlando, like all these little towns around Orlando, which is great. They go to some armory, some VFW hall, and they get work in. But now you're in with bigger crowds with TNA. It's good for NXT. I just want to know on the other side, like, so does this mean that we're going to see a TNA superstar like a Mike Santana beat someone from NXT and win the championship, like an Obafemi? I don't know the answer to that.
I mean, eventually, yes, right? Like, eventually you have to have somebody who's on your roster be the champion and go over that way. But right now, TNA is completely happy with the trade being, yeah, we'll do that. And then, oh, you want Joe Hendry? Yeah, Joe Hendry can show up. Oh, Joe Hendry? Yeah, he can have a match against Randy Orton. Oh, you need him for the Royal Rumble? Yeah, I mean, and those were great things as well. And that's kind of the ultimate trade-off. Like, they just want their name to be featured and be around WWE. And WWE, by the way, is also hoping that they can drag TNA into a little bit more of a competition with AEW and try to knock down AEW a peg or two.
That's the key right there. That's the key. Get as many allies as possible from Mexico with AAA, with TNA, if you can do to kind of push AEW out the way. It's something.
Well, did you see that? How WWE, I mean, I think we already all knew it was coming. But to promote Worlds Collide, we're going to have Vikingo and we're going to have going up against Chad Gable. Well, yeah. Vikingo's not currently the champion in AAA. But he does have a championship match coming up against if he's going by Alberto El Patron, the formerly known as Alberto Del Rio in WWE. Well, they happened to promote when they showed Vikingo. Oh, here's the world champ. But no, not yet. Not yet.
They don't care. Alberto, because they know he's not going to be part of that system. Like, yep, we know who the match is. I know you know who the champion is, but that guy, ignore him. He's not part of us.
Yeah.
That was wild. And so unlike WWE to do that, but this is the new business. This is a new world for them with TKO.
Well, and again, nobody thought that based on previous reporting around Alberto Del Rio and WWE, nobody thought he would ever come back. And then they bought AAA. And you're thinking, oh, maybe he'll backdoor his way in. Nope.
I find it interesting, by the way, because we have a number one choice. I find it interesting that on Dynamite Wednesday night that we saw like some CMLL tape, Mystico. They're showing highlights. And they just want to just piss on the fire hydrant. Just so you know, we got Mexican wrestlers too. We have a relationship with Mexico too. So I know you're watching WWE, but we got the best. We got Mystico. And I just think this is great. This, like, there is a real rivalry and a real war between these two promotions. So Trick Williams is on the list. And of course, number one on the list, Gabe, is Hangman Adam Page.
Hangman.
It's just, it was a coin flip. I know I was not on, but I was just thinking, this is a coin flip because on one hand, this show has been talking a lot about Ospreay and how once he's a champion, oh my God, because he gives you quality matches. The guy stays relatively healthy. He's gotten so much better on the mic. And to me, he's like one of the best baby faces in the company. And they went with Hangman Page, also character babyface, burns someone's house down, but yet still good enough to be in the good graces of fans. And they give him the Owens Men's Cup Championship. And I'm just like, wow, it really was 50-50.
Yeah, and look, I Hangman is my biggest star coming out of it too. Fantastic match that they had to close out. I mean, there's got to be a happy medium between what WWE does for their premium live events and what AEW does in their, like, I know I'm trying to Goldilocks my situation, through the situation here, Hood, but like, this one's too long, this one's too short. We got to have like that happy medium of like 3 hours is fine. Like, again, and I appreciate WWE shortening up, trimming the fat, but like, and I like the guys in the trios match that they put between Anarchy in the Arena and the main events. Did we really need it? Did it really need to be on the card? Or could we have just like sent that out and just kept the wave rolling after Anarchy in the Arena and just jumped full into the main event for AEW and Double or Nothing? But I mean, Hangman, they just absolutely delivered. I also got a kick out of the report that both of them backstage were lobbying for the other one to win. Like, this is, you know, Bryan Danielson's not going anywhere. Like, his influence is being felt all over that AEW locker room of, no, I don't want to win. Have the other guy win. He can get this big moment. But also, because we do have like 6 or 7 weeks before we get to July 12th, okay, how are we going to fill this time? I'm intrigued by how they kicked things off last night on Dynamite of, okay, hey, Mox is a lot of people. He's going to need some help. And Ospreay seems to be the one who wants to recruit and try to get people to help. You know, Paige wants to start with Swerve. Swerve wants nothing to do with it. So that could be fun over the course of the next 6 weeks. But Hangman Adam Page, I said this last week on the show, Hood. Like, I wasn't sure if he was going to win, but I wanted him to win. I just felt storyline-wise, it made more sense. Like, he's on this redemption arc of, and Ospreay, again, you can continue the story of Ospreay, of him ascending and then getting knocked down. Like, he just can't get over the top. And when he finally does win that AEW World Championship or wins that first big match, it's really going to hit if you burn it out just a little bit longer. It felt like Hangman Adam Page's time, and I felt like Tony made the right call in putting him over, which apparently was a really closely guarded secret. And barely anybody knew who was going to go win that match going into the main event on Sunday.
I'm happy for Paige. If he's going to be champion, and I said this about Samoa Joe, I said this about Swerve. Gabe, if he's going to be champion, can he have it for a while? I feel like when Hangman Page beats Moxley, when it happens, you don't book Globe Life Field to just have Moxley retain. If you do, you're going to sink your company because no one wants to see Moxley as champion anymore. They don't mind him on the TV. They just don't want him to see champion anymore. And you want to see the belt. You haven't seen the belt since October. So you want to see the championship. So but my fear is that when Hangman Page beats Moxley and AEW goes to London, is that automatic that Hangman takes on Will Ospreay and Will wins? You don't book O2.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I'm fearful of. I don't want Hangman to have a couple of months run. That's the problem with this championship before Moxley. It was a hot potato title.
Yeah, I mean, really, the only long sustained run that they had was MJF. Like, that's really the only long sustained run, year plus run that they had. It's probably going to be a hot potato title again because they're trying to figure out the best way to go about it. And I'm curious to see. Again, we've got Hangman chasing, and that's always an easier story to tell. And then once you reach that pinnacle, okay, what do we do from here? It's a conversation everybody's had in pro wrestling forever. When you have that long babyface, you know, kind of chasing after that title, what do you do after you get over? And that's going to be the interesting part for Hangman Adam Page, especially if they get, you know, if Ospreay's able to recruit all these people, because, I mean, again, Ospreay's going to want the shot at the title. Swerve wants another shot at that title. Like, presumably, the people that you're going to have to get to recruit at the top are also guys who are going to eventually want a shot at that title should Hangman win it. So that could be an interesting thing. I'm not quite sure. But, the thing I agree with you most is he better win come Globe Life Field. And I know the biggest fear for Brian Rowitz is that he's not going to win. That Mox is going to go over and they're going to wait for Wrestle Dream and put Darby over. But I think that could, that's going to be something kind of keeping an eye on. Again, shout out to Cody. Obviously his star power was felt at Saturday night's main event for his return. And even though he wasn't advertised, like him showing up and seeing it, like they ended up popping a good number for Saturday night's main event. So that was star studded. That was action packed. I thought it was a great, even though it was a long weekend, Hood, I thought it ended up being a very good weekend of pro wrestling.
Great for us. Great for us as wrestling fans that we have so many things to choose from. I think that's awesome.
Oh, absolutely.
I would imagine some of the grandpas that were gumming their dinner at 6 o'clock were wondering, like, where's my Dateline? or where's my America's Got Talent? And like, what is this? You know, and boy, hats off to them. They sprinted through that show. All those commercials, they sprinted through that show. I was surprised that they allowed Jey Uso to go down down through the crowd in Tampa. I'm like, I don't know about you, because we're both professionals, right?
Oh, yeah.
We are prisoners of the clock of all, not this podcast, but just our radio shows, right? And I'm looking, I'm like, you gonna get this match in? I don't know.
Well, with all their other, and CW is different, but like with Netflix, they can kind of do whatever they want because it's not like there's a show after. When they were on USA, it's a simple phone call. Hey, can you just, you know, avoid, you know, for Modern Family, just don't play it right away. We'll join halfway through the episode. We got a 5-minute overrun.
Sure.
NBC on a Saturday night, they got stuff they got to get to. There is no such thing as an overrun. You got to hit that mark. And Cody flew through at the end to make sure he set up that match for Money in the Bank. And by the way, I think my favorite part of, because I don't even know when the rule changed, and obviously Jesse the Body Ventura hasn't kept up on everything WWE over the years, but him basically saying it's just a coward's act to walk out of the cage. No, you should climb over the cage. Well, you can't just walk out the door. What are you doing? This guy's a coward. This is terrible. Like, it's just... Jesse, and Cole tries to rein him in a couple of times, and Jesse just doesn't care.
Yeah, you know what? And there's the divide between wrestling fans for the last 10 years or 15 years and wrestling fans from the 80s. That's Jesse doing heel work.
Yeah.
First of all, he's old. But secondly, that's what it is. Like, I know Jesse has been in the building for those cage matches, like with Bruno and those guys mm-hmm. that walk in the cage and win. I know that he called Boss Man and Hogan in the big blue cage. I know that he was doing that. He's being a heel because he respects Drew McIntyre. And so for people to be all up in arms, I can't believe Jesse said, Jesse's a heel. That's what he's doing. And old.
You want to talk about being a star? Yeah. Jesse, every time, like, to me, Saturday Night's Main Event is can't miss. Because of Jesse the Body Ventura.
Yes.
I have no idea what he's going to do. And I've loved everything that he's going to do. Again, like you said, he's doing heel. Like, he's not dumb. Like, he's been in this business for how long, right? Like, the man knows what he's doing. And when he's going to be a heel and calling Damian Priest a coward is fantastic.
Of course. I find the Dave Meltzers and others of the world taking Jesse Ventura's commentary seriously. They produce him to an extent, clearly, with Joe Tess.
Yeah.
Talk about the things that he likes. Okay, fine. They give him like a soundbite or give him a paragraph. Say what you want to say in this paragraph, and then we move on to something else because you can't let Jesse just go on. He's not that familiar with the product. So when he says that in a match, he's doing heel work. This generation doesn't know what a real heel announcer sounds like. I'm sure it's a shock when Don Callis takes the headset and says what he says. Like, I can't believe Don said that because – he's a heel. When you say people don't get that, Gabe. It's really amazing to me. People, I can't believe. I mean, they had cage matches before. How could he say that NBC wouldn't allow cage matches? He doesn't. He's a heel. He's just fucking around. Leave him alone.
Yeah, and that's the great part. Like, he doesn't care. He's gonna say what he wants to say. But again, there's a level of character work because he's always going to be a character. Like, he's an old school professional wrestling guy. Of course, he's always going to be playing a character. We have a lot of other things we need to dive into the show. I did say Karrion Kross was talking with Brian Rowitz earlier this week, and that is number one on our three count.
Good Karma Wrestling here. Monday Night Raw makes its way to the Midwest, June 16th, Green Bay, Wisconsin. And joining us now to talk about it, he's the man that's made plenty of buzz these last few weeks. Today's Karrion Kross joining us. We'll start there. Raw heads to Green Bay in a few weeks. You, as a performer, what is your favorite part about being in front of a live Monday Night Raw audience?
Hitting people with a steel chair.
Okay.
And then staring at the children.
That's a good
blankly,
one.
Blankly, with a blank look on my face.
Your last few weeks have been pretty elevated. You get some buzz. Fans are definitely getting behind you right now. From your perspective, what has these last few weeks been like for you?
They've been pretty awesome. The reception that I've been getting from the audience live has been pretty cool. I've had one match this year on Raw. That is it. In comparison, in relation to my peers and other performers, to be receiving the sort of reactions that I'm getting from the WWE Universe, just based on that alone, it is very cool. And I'm supposed to be a bad guy.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
You like hitting people with chairs and staring at children, and people are behind you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, I guess the kids like when I hit people with chairs.
When you have that promo after Mania, what sort of calculated risk is something like that, where you say, hey, I'm going to take a chance on yourself, but what's it like from that perspective?
Oh, boy, well, I'll give you a little bit of inside information. I was asked the day before to do Sam Roberts' podcast. And I said, what would you like? Sure. What would you like on that? They said, well, it's right after the match. Okay, well, I got to take into consideration what has happened to Karrion Kross. You know, his group gets nuked. Mm-hmm. He has only one match on Raw, and he lost it. He loses the Battle Royal, you know, the Andre. And then he tries to help AJ with the whole world watching on the grandest stage of them all and gets punched out. How would you be feeling?
Probably not great.
Not great. Not great. So, you know, and that's basically, you know, where what you guys saw is the story that has played out. Some people don't like the story that you narrate, that, you know, they told. They get a little uncomfortable when you tell the story back to them, but it made for great content. And look, ultimately, all kidding aside, everything that I approach with what I am given in our industry, in our business, I'm always asking myself, well, what am I going to do? What am I going to say to make people care? Why are they watching? You have to give people a reason to watch. You cannot take for granted that they're just going to be there. And, you know, especially with that show too, we just had an insane show. We had an insane show. There is such thing as like social battery fatigue and burnout. I knew that there were going to be a lot of people that were not watching it because they just watched WrestleMania. There's people leaving the building. They're driving home. What can I do to make these people care so that when they get home or they want to do a follow-up the next day, what are the notes of what they heard about that show? Oh, Karrion Kross crashed out? I got to see this. Had I gone on there and done things any differently, who's to say that those people would have tuned in to see what anyone had to say about the show? You got to give people a reason. You know what I mean?
Social media is generally a cesspool, but there are positives to it. And, you know, you have moments like this, even some of your storytelling this year, where you have social media detectives picking up on little clues from your storytelling. So how does social media benefit you as a wrestler in 2025?
I'm going to tell you something. I am fully well aware of the pitfalls of social media and everything. And anyone can come on here and talk about the cons of social media. But this is something I don't think I've ever said. So when I first got started in pro wrestling on the indies, you know, when you're just breaking in, when you're doing it traditionally, you go to a school and you work local shows. And that, for me, that was in Las Vegas. I got my break there. In order to entice a promoter in another city or state to take you as an independent wrestler from your city and state when no one knows who you are and fly you out of his own pocket to his city where no one knows where you are.
Right.
And for him to be confident that you're going to entertain people, be a draw, people have to know who you are. So right off the bat, I understood the process of, well, let me put myself in the promoter's shoes. What can I do for him to make him feel like I can do something for a show? And I use social media. 11 years ago, I began filming my promos, learning how to produce this character that people are watching. I put it up online. People enjoyed it and they started retweeting it and they started sending it around. And now suddenly people know who you are in different cities and states. And now, hey, I absolutely know I'm going to make my money back and make a return on this guy because people are watching his stuff in New Jersey, in Florida, in Texas, in Seattle. I'm definitely going to fly him in and bring him to the show. And that's how I got out of the state. So I could, I could, I can tell you right now, social media has been very, very good to me. It's the very reason why I was able to actually start working all over the United States, which led to Mexico, Canada, Japan, India, even before I got to WWE. You just have to know, like, you can't take social media so seriously, because there's a lot of people on there who, you know, they're in the 9-to-5, just like all of us, you know, were or are, or still, you know, perhaps, you know, working class. They're going on social media to entertain themselves, right, and they may do it at your expense. And you just have to realize that and just chill out about it all. It's not life and death. So it's been good to me. I like it, but I understand what it is.
Monday Night Raw comes to Green Bay June 16th. You mentioned some of the places you've wrestled. Some of these companies now work alongside the WWE. How weird is that as performers? They're like, oh, we can just go work with this guy who works in another company now.
I think it's awesome. I like doing things that people say you're not supposed to do, like in general. You know, if somebody tells me I'm not supposed to pick up this stool and slam it through the window of this restaurant when no one's looking, I might do a camera check. I may look for pinhole cameras or the security cameras. And if they're all the way over there, guess what's happening? This stool right here is going through that window over there. And when somebody says who did that, I will tell them very confidently, that was me.
Oh, okay. Not going to claim ignorance.
No, I did that. And I'm not sorry.
There you go. That's what you do. Also, recently announced Evolution 2 coming to Atlanta in a couple months. Your wife, Scarlett, we've seen what she can do in the ring. If you're fantasy booking, Scarlett versus who at Evolution 2?
Well, I will tell you this. On a house show, Scarlett and I got a last minute notice that we could potentially be working Rhea Ripley and Damian Priest. We were over the moon about it. So we wound up working them that weekend, and it was the talk of the show. And Scarlett got a standing ovation in Gorilla both nights when she walked through that curtain. She had really, really, really good matches at Rhea. I know things are very story-driven. That may seem like a random match for people because there's no buildup, but Scarlett against Rhea would be an excellent match. It would blow people away. I guarantee it. I've been in this business for 11 years. Getting a standing ovation in Gorilla, that means something.
Sure.
If we're talking super fantasy booking, I have always wanted to see Scarlett versus Trish Stratus.
Oh, okay.
Those would be the two matches I think I'd like to see.
Last couple things here, Karrion Kross. Monday Night Raw comes to Green Bay June 16th. You were released in 2021. You come back in 2022. How different of a wrestler are you today than the Karrion Kross that was released a few years ago?
Very different. Now I'm more disturbed.
For better or worse, I guess, for everyone else in that locker room.
It's for everyone else's entertainment. You might as well enjoy it. I honestly, working with people like Rey Mysterio, AJ Styles, who in my opinion, I think is probably the best in-ring performer who's ever lived. And I'm not being sarcastic. I really do believe that. Working with Bobby Lashley, working with the Wyatts, on UK tours, working with Sheamus, working with Drew McIntyre, working with New Day, working backstage with Miz, I feel like I've had these incredible opportunities since I've been back to be around people who have won world championships. They've been in high-level, high-pressure situations that are really good on their feet. I always try to remain a sponge. I'm always trying to learn. Working around those people, I feel like it's put my IQ in terms of connecting with the audience and just how to frame the psychology in matches of knowing really what people want to see out of the time allotted that I'm given. It's put me light years ahead. I feel just way ahead of where I used to be, just being in proximity to these people and getting to work with them.
You mentioned world titles. You recently told Sami Zayn he's never going to win a world title. Who's someone, in your opinion, in that locker room that deserves that world title, that hasn't had it before, that you know would take the ball and run with it?
Sami Zayn.
Okay, good one.
Yeah, Sami Zayn. I mean, look, doing things the way he's doing them, he's never going to win it. And it's frustrating for me because I've seen the way Sammy really is, and you have too. All you have to do is go back and watch that Bloodline stuff. You've seen his matches with Kevin Owens. The one thing that infuriates me more than anything is people trying to play the good guy, because Sammy's not a good guy. Okay, look at his career. He's had a very long history career. I mean, and you know, we can get into the whole Chad Gable and you know, Grande Americano thing. And I don't think it's Chad Gable. A lot of people think it's Chad Gable. I don't think it's him. That's just my opinion. But a lot of people always thought that Sami Zayn was, you know, El Generico. I said it.
I don't know if you're allowed to say that.
You know what? I said it. A lot of people thought, you know, that you know, reporter was Hurricane Helms. Mm-hmm. Still to this day can't be proven. But, you know, Sammy's a sneaky guy. And when his back is against the wall, he will do anything that he has to do to make sure that he gets exactly what he wants. And I just want to see that for Sammy. That's what's going to make him happy. So, you know, a little bit of frustration there. I just want everybody to be their true selves.
I mean, Sami Zayn was on the show. He did fantasy book Sammy versus El Generico. So,
he did.
Those are two different people.
And that's so disturbing that he did that. I just have to say, that is.
I don't know why anyone would ask him that. Of course, Monday Night Raw. That's right. June 16th, Monday Night Raw in Green Bay. Karrion Kross will be a part of it. Looking forward to see what's next for Karrion Kross. Appreciate the time.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Karrion Kross joining us here on GKW. That might be some breaking news. I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever put El Generico and Sami Zayn. I don't know if anybody's made that connection before.
Right. Yes. I'm smiling because I really enjoyed that conversation. Not a surprise it happens on Good Karma Wrestling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So before we get to number two, a couple of things we got to break down from this. I really enjoyed that conversation. So Karrion Kross, to me, could be exactly what Triple H is looking for as far as someone that just shoots from the hip and just says anything. He said house show. He mentioned Bobby Lashley. What? You heard this, right? He said it like,
yeah.
Comfortable. It's Brian, of course, because everyone's comfortable around Brian because he's an every fan. He loves everybody, right? So, but just the way he was speaking, it was so un-WWE like. It's as if we were talking to Karrion Kross, the independent wrestler. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so comfortable. The other thing too is, at some point, Gabe, we're going to see Karrion Kross really break out, not just backstage but in the ring. Why? Because WWE chose him to promote the Rush Center in Green Bay. Of all the superstars, a guy that has one match on Raw, always on WWE main event, in which you and I can't find it, that's always on that show, right? So, like, of all the superstars, why him? Because I think at some point he's going to really break out. Otherwise, why'd they ask him to promote Green Bay for ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison?
Yeah, I think he is. I'm with you. I think he's really close to breaking out, and I cannot wait for him. I wish I was at the house show that featured him and Scarlett versus Rhea and Damian. I bet that was awesome.
That's noteworthy because I can't remember the last time I saw Scarlett wrestle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know what her moveset is. I have no idea.
But obviously everybody there was impressed when she was able to get in the ring. All right, speaking of that.
Tell me what did you think quickly? What did you think of the conversation? I thought it was fascinating.
He is obviously one of the more well-spoken individuals. Like, for him to cut the promo that he did, that they had addressed, you know, very early in the interview, like, he's really good with a microphone. Like, I mean, he's always been that. Like, even when he was just kind of floating around with, I forget the name of the group that they used to have with the Authors of Pain, but like, he's always been really good on the microphone. And it just doesn't seem like he has really been given anything to sink his teeth into, even in the second go-around in WWE. I know Brian probably doesn't want to hear this because he yelled at Karrion Kross to stay away from Sami Zayn, you know, months and months and months ago. But if Sami's not going to be around the world title picture, you know, anytime soon. I'm curious to see what those two can do with the program. Like, as it seems like, based on the interaction that they had Monday night, as Sammy was walking out for that main event, that Karrion Kross, Sami Zayn could be what Karrion Kross is going to be able to do, like a program with Sammy and having two veterans like that. I'm looking forward to that. And I think he kind of sold me on that, especially with some of the things he said about Sammy late in the interview.
And wins. You can't have that much. You can't have that much TV time in the back and never win. He needs to behind him. If the crowd is supporting him, if social media is supporting him, I know he got a lot of cheers in Las Vegas because he did not win the Andre. People were saying, "Hey, why didn't he win?" But people were supporting him. Then Triple H knows that, and there's a reason why that he's promoting Green Bay, because
yes,
that he gets wins, meaningful TV time, and see what he could do in the ring.
Well, one of the things they did talk about, Hood, was Evolution 2, which is coming up later this summer. It is official. We know it's going to be coming. He was able to fantasy book his wife in Scarlet. So our question, who would you like to see? Main events, Evolution. Number 2, the all-women's premium live events later this summer for WWE.
WWE continues to just pick stuff off the floor that they dropped years ago. Oh, you want Great American Bash? Here you go. Evolution, we're just throwing it all out to you. You're just going to have all these events, right? So I would say I wrote some names down. Don't know what the match looks like, Gabe, but I would say that you cannot have one of these main events or one of these shows without having Stephanie Vaquer, who just lost NXT Women's Championship to JC Jane. I don't understand why, but she lost.
I think you understand why. I mean, she's got to be coming to SmackDown or Raw soon, right? Like, that's the reason she drops the NXT championship, is so she can be a main event, or excuse me, a main roster player for WWE.
I think the reign was short. Like, just bring her up there and just let her beat somebody for the title. I don't know. I was surprising. I just put it that way. I didn't expect her to lose on TV like that.
Yeah.
So it starts with Stephanie Vaquer. It's Julia. It's Io Sky. It's Rhea Ripley. It's wrestlers of that ilk that have to be part of that main event in some way, shape, or form. I just picked out new wrestlers and established stars.
Well, to me, if you're having this, your biggest star of the women's division has to be in the main events. If you're doing a pay-per-view, like there's going to be a premium live event, which is, by the way, July 13th in Atlanta at the State Farm Arena. So Rhea Ripley. It's Rhea Ripley versus who? Because I still think that Rhea is the biggest star of that women's division.
Stephanie Vaquer?
Sure. I mean, you could talk me – a lot of the names you just list, you could talk me into a lot of those different things. And you've got – you know, this is the day after All in Texas. So we were just talking about 6-7 weeks, you know, that they've got – you've got 6-7 weeks to lay some groundwork. And Rhea Ripley, I mean, she doesn't have anything to do really right now. She cut a promo for Money in the Bank. On Monday Night Raw. So, I mean, you've got 6-7 weeks, or really, I guess, after, you know, assuming she does not win the Money in the Bank, you know, just a little over a week from now, you're going to have 5 weeks to build up something. And yeah, whether it's Vaquer, whether it's Jordan Grace, whether it's Io Sky again, Bianca Belair, Becky, Liv, like, you could talk me into a number of different things. But to me, it has to be Rhea versus blank. Because Rhea's the biggest star, and she's been the one who's been carrying the women's division. And if you're doing an all-women pay-per-view, she's in the main event.
So I'm clear. Evolution will not have a championship attached to it, right, or a trophy. It's just an event.
It's just an event. Just the name of the event.
Because you always have to be careful of that with WWE or AEW.
Like
you get this bowling trophy because you won Evolution. I don't know. That's why I'm asking. Yeah. So if we're booking it, this should be stakes. So somebody's championship has to be on the line against Rhea Ripley, correct?
Yeah. So is it just Rhea versus Io again? Rhea versus Tiffy?
The Tiffy? Tiffy Rhea?
Again, you could talk me into that.
Okay. Yeah. It's only because we've talked about the women's divisions in AEW and WWE for a long time. And there's plenty of star power. You just have to be able to book it. I mean, I think that there could be was considered back in the day the no skips record. You put on an album, yep. It's like all of them are hits. I think that you can have a hit with everything that we just talked about here, including having Becky in the mix or Bailey in the mix, Julia.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, or you can even – the fun part here is you could match up. You mentioned Becky and Charlotte and – I mean, if you want to throw Charlotte or Bailey. Like, you could take those three just established, long-time WWE, you know, stalwarts and put them up against some of the younger talent coming up from NXT if you really wanted to. If you wanted to do, you know, a six-woman tag, you could do something like that with Becky, Charlotte, and Bailey. I think there's a number of different directions you can go, especially with the depth of talent. Again, especially if Julia and Jordynne Grace and Stephanie Vaquer are coming up to the main roster. Like, if all those people are coming up to the main roster, cool. Are you going to be able to use anybody from Impact? Anybody from AAA? Like, the possibilities are endless here, and I would not be shocked if this pay-per-view ends up being a little bit longer than the traditional four or five matches that Hunter likes to go for his premium live events.
It's funny that you mentioned Jordynne Grace from Atlanta. She's got to be on that card doing something.
Yes.
So that works out well. You said State Farm Center, so Atlanta Hawks?
Yes, yep, mm-hmm. Yep, State Farm Arena, that is correct.
Wonder how many they can jam in there. I mean, listen. Rhea Ripley is the number one draw for me in this.
Yes, I would agree.
I just like to see how this card is stacked. I think because it's got WWE sprinkle on it that it should draw well. I just want to see what stories come out of it because you're right. You have a big pool to draw out of and really have some really good matches out of it. So I think any of the names we mentioned, I think it's all a thumbs up. It's funny. Can we come up with, there's any thumbs down that you don't want to, I got one that I want to see. I want to talk about our last guest that we had on from the women's division. Remember?
Was it from Chelsea?
From Puerto Rico.
Oh, no, we did. Yes, we did. Yes. Okay. Who just broke Chelsea's nose?
Yes, it is a problem for Zelina Vega right now. Because we had her on, it's the curse of GKW. We had her on to talk about her biggest champion. And what happens? She can't complete the 619. She goes, oh, I can do the spin. I'll just kick Chelsea in the nose and break her nose. Reckless.
Yeah. Man,
you can't do that. Like, she's got to be better than that. And also the final pinfall was not smooth either.
Yeah.
She's going to have to really work hard to keep that championship now, because on NBC, national television audience, that was not good at all.
No. Which is unfortunate because I feel like she's delivered in the ring every time she's had those opportunities. We talked about that when we had Zelina on. It just wasn't the smoothest there with Chelsea Green. Because again, it's crazy now within the women's division, I'm assuming you're going to have every championship defended.
Yes.
So that's already five matches. Because you've got the two world titles, you've got the U.S. and Intercontinental, and then you've got the tag team championships, which are held by one of your bigger stars in Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. So there's five matches already. And then if you want to have any legends come in, anything for some of these younger, like, I would love to see something. Like, I don't know how much of a secret this is, but it seems like from everything I've seen, Natty's really killing it, doing everything she's doing away from WWE, despite being under WWE contract. Like, I would love to see. I don't want to see Natalya. Right. I want to see Natty Neidhart on this show. Yes. That's what I want to see.
She's an ass kicker, man. That's what I want.
I want that.
She's cutting great promos on social media. She's been in the NWA. She was in Bloodsport. Like, she is a killer. That's what WWE needs. Oh, not the person that puts everyone over. The one that go over.
Like, I want to see, like, you could talk me into non-title match Rhea versus Natty Neidhart. Like, sign me up. Not going to miss that.
Yeah, she's the real deal. That's exactly what she should have been the last 10 years, but that's what happens. You break away from the WWE bubble. You can be who you want to be. Like Killer Cross. Like, he's in the bubble. But yeah, he's talking about Bobby Lashley. Can't get over that. But this I think could really, really be good. And hopefully they'll stick with this evolution after this is a success, and I think it will be. Keep it going every year, because I think people will enjoy it.
Yeah. We move on to number three this week in GKW's in our three count. And recently, Jeff Jarrett giving an interview was quoted as saying, talking about Hangman Adam Page, that Hangman makes everyone around him better, which is really, again, I think in any sport, like in anything competitively, that's a compliment that you want. We hear it about quarterbacks all the time. You hear about players in the NBA. So who in wrestling makes everyone better? And I think there's a couple of different ways that you can really interpret this. Like, I think of how people talk about Shawn Michaels, or the way that people talk about Will Ospreay. Oh, match with a broomstick, and I could be entertained. So clearly that's somebody who elevates. Or is it just somebody being around, like Sami Zayn? I feel like ever since Sami was pulled into the bloodline, just about every story that Sami's been involved with, he makes that story better. Who in wrestling makes everyone better?
Who is it on the Brewers? Don't do that.
On the Brewers, it's probably Bryce Tarang.
Bryce Tarang, right?
Yep.
Who's the Bryce Tarang of wrestling? Now, I'm a White Sox fan. I've got nobody.
Yeah.
I've got nobody that makes anyone better because we're just barely better than the Rockies. So I've got nobody. You would hope that's going to be someone that will emerge, but not yet. Definitely not. So who's the Tarang of wrestling? So, you know, I didn't write down any stars, but I wrote down guys that make the business better, like Mark Briscoe.
Yeah, oh, he is the ultimate team guy. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you need me to be ROH world champ? Yeah, I can do that. And I feel like that was almost a reward for him, too, for doing all the different, like, dirty work stuff. Oh, you just need somebody out there to kind of complete and eat some pins and, you know, in the tournament we do at the end of the year? Yeah, I can do that. Oh, you need me to do an ambulance match? Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, Mark Briscoe, I think, is a great answer.
Mark Briscoe needs wins, even though he had a tremendous stretcher match.
Yes.
And I just think, again, for a guy that bled all over the place in a stretcher match, and for Tony Khan to say, hey, could you keep your shirt on and bleed more? Because you're going to need it at the end of the night. He just stayed in the same outfit. He's like, okay, just keep bleeding for me. We'll need you later. Mark Briscoe's that guy who loses a lot, but yet deserves victory. And I think that more victories. He did have a run as ROH champion. I get that. But I think he's one of those glue guys that I would have on the list. I will write down Chad Gable as someone who's that guy also. Not Americano. I'm talking about Chad. Chad will give you a great match every time. Mm-hmm. Clearly, there's more money in Americano than it is Chad. Chad sucks. But Americano, thumbs up. You know, and again, a glue guy that can wrestle really well. And so I wrote him down as one of the choices.
Yeah, Chad Gable is one that certainly came to mind. Again, I go back to Sami. I feel like Sami Zayn is somebody that will, you know, has taken a bunch of defeats over the years. But he's very good in the ring. He's going to sell well. He's going to do whatever you ask Sami to do, he's going to be able to do, and he's going to be able to do it well. It's like Sami Zayn is another one that immediately comes to mind. Again, we were just talking about her. Like, Natty would probably be on this list. We haven't seen her on WWE television for a while, but, you know, she's been able to enhance everyone else around her. She's been around for such a long time and is such a smart wrestler. She's been able to impart some of that wisdom on people. So I think certainly, you know, she kind of fits that bill. I think Chelsea Green's kind of working her way into being that of, you know, whenever she's involved, you know, like it's going to be a worthwhile thing to have on TV and a worthwhile thing to invest yourself in as a fan.
I wrote down Sheamus. No, he's been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. You always get a good match out of Sheamus. Sheamus gets a full body workout when he wrestles. Some wrestlers that you've seen over the years, especially in WWE, they can wrestle 15 minutes and never sweat. When Sheamus is out there, it's always 15 minutes, and like the spiky top flops down. He's got in a full lather. It's like, boy, this guy gave his all, man. Look at him. He's sweating his ass off out there. Cool. He's working hard. So he's one of those guys I think that, you know, it's funny. Like, we've seen The Miz way too long in one company. Mm-hmm. We've seen Randy Orton in the company way too long. For Sheamus, I never get tired of Sheamus. He's so in and out of the company sometimes. It's like when he comes back, it's like it's the same guy, but he gives you a good effort, whether he wins or loses. And I give him credit for that.
Oh, and he's got moves that are over. Like, people love counting along when he ties you up in the rope and just starts pounding away on the chest. Like, people love getting into that. And Yeah, and again, he's been around for so long. He's had a couple world championship runs. Like, there's an air of legitimacy when he gets involved. So, like, him popping up, yeah, I think that's always going to go, oh, okay, this is worth paying attention to now. What's going to happen? What's going on over here?
I know that it would not agree, but to me, I think Ethan Page would be on that list.
Okay, again, I haven't had enough time to really dive into NXT, and I found it interesting that him and Ricky Saints were wrestling each other for the North American Championship. So that was, again, just an interesting note, two former AEW guys now in NXT. I felt that way about him in AEW. I just haven't seen enough of him in NXT. But he's been around there longer than Saints. Is he going to be a main roster guy soon, or is he going to be kind of one of these guys who does really well in NXT and then kind of gets lost in the shuffle the way I feel Bobby Roode did when Roode, who had a great NXT run, came up to the main roster and just kind of fell flat?
I think it's what you just laid out. Like, he should stay with NXT. Hey, they see it as a third brand, not developmental anymore. Mm-hmm. And I just, it's what you know about him, Gabe. And I'm not saying that you're not missing anything. I'll just say that guy comes out cocky, great on the mic, gives you a solid effort in the ring, whether he wins or loses, it doesn't matter, because Ethan Page is going to continue to talk. He can lose a bunch of matches and he feel like he won. So the only difference between AEW Ethan Page and NXT Ethan Page is that now Page wears glasses. That's
it. Oh, okay. All right. Oh, so they really went deep. Just a big change for that.
That's it. Just kind of just weird glasses, cocky glasses, because he's all ego. And that's it. It's just the same thing that we saw, but just a solid veteran in there that you always got to have that in your locker room. And that's why when we talk about Mark Briscoe and guys like that, just solid guys making a living, staying on TV. And so that, I think every roster needs that.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if we're missing anyone at this point. Again, if you want to go to like the best wrestlers, you know, again, I think you throw Ospreay on there where he's going to be able to get the best out of seemingly everybody gets in the ring with, but that's just kind of in ring. Like, he's still, you know, he's not going to necessarily make those around him better from a storyline perspective. You know, like, it just, I don't feel that way about him there. It's just more of an in ring type of situation for him.
Well, lastly, I did write down Joe Hendry, question mark, because, you know what, I'm going to make this prediction. With Joe Hendry, he loses the NXT championship to Trick Williams because WWE feels really great about Joe Hendry, you know, taking two RKOs from Randy Orton and WrestleMania. They like Joe. Joe's going to get to LA Knight territory, and then that'll be it, if that, in WWE. I'm serious. Like, mm-hmm. He'll win the World Heavyweight Championship because they think he's a gimmick. Oh, you can play the guitar, and you can sing, and you do all these parodies. Okay. And you can wrestle some. And I think that there's going to be a level right there. And it's like, all right, Joe, we like you on the roster, but nah.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's eventually going to end up in, like, again, he's basically in WWE right now, but I think he's going to sign a WWE contract once that TNA contract comes up. And you can see him more on the main roster. We dive now, Hood, into some news and notes, as it's worth mentioning, talking about NXT. They are going to be running the Great American Bash under the NXT banner, also in Georgia. But this one's happening the day before Evolution. It's going to be a big WWE weekend that weekend, as they do have a Saturday night's main event scheduled that week as well. But the Great American Bash, it's going to be July 12th, running in the middle of the day, going head-to-head with AEW's All In, which already had the weird start time of 3 p.m. Eastern, but now NXT wants to go head-to-head with their PLE versus the AEW pay-per-view.
AEW moved out of the way for WWE.
Yep.
And WWE still wants to match. Again, NXT is going to get trounced. Nobody cares. You'll watch it later, but you're not going to choose, at least me, I will not choose that over what we're going to see in Dallas, Texas. I'm not going to do that. I know what they're trying to do, but again, NXT, just for you and I, it's less than. If there's a match that we're going to see, we'll go find it. But the idea that AEW is secondary on that, it's going to be a banger. Jon Moxley more than likely is going to lose the championship. This wrestling war is fun, man. It really is. Great American Bash in Atlanta is tradition because that's how Dusty booked it. It was always in the South, so that's cool. But, I mean, I'm not going out of my way to see that.
The fun part is NXT is not going to run a four-hour show.
No.
Like, that's to truly go head-to-head. Like, AEW, that's going to be a long show. And NXT is just not going to match that. So, yeah, if you want to flip and see what's going on early, like, yeah, I think it's just fun to note. I honestly don't think it's that big of a deal. Ross?
No, but they moved out of the way, though. Why should the biggest event for AEW be in 2 o'clock in the afternoon? They're like, okay, you want the night? Go ahead, have the night. And WWE's like, we'll just go head-to-head in the middle of the day. Why'd you do that? Because you're trying to run AEW out of business. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's exactly what he wants to do. We got a health update on Tuesday from Hall of Famer, Voice of Wrestling, Jim Ross, who tweeted out, "Happy to say today's cancer surgery was a success. Now we begin to rehabilitate." He has stated it as a goal of his. He wants to be at All In 7 weeks from now, and we'll have to wait and see if the rehab goes well enough for good old JR. But always good to hear that the surgery was a success for him as he continues his battle with cancer.
One of the all-time greatest, Jim Ross. I'll wish all the best for him and his family that's surrounding him to keep him in great health. JR still, he thinks that he can make it to All In. And it's just like, wow, man, you just went through this cancer issue and he still thinks that he could fly or drive to Dallas for this just to call a match. It's like, at some point, Jim Ross has to be in the Jim Ross business, health-wise, mental. I mean, wrestling's always going to be there. But he doesn't have to rush back. He feels like the announcing is in a bad spot. And that's what he said to Conrad Thompson. I saw the interview. He just thinks that it's a little bit too scattershot. Ian here, Tony there. And it's kind of like, man, look, there's a hole in that broadcasting crew, and it's not because Jim Ross isn't there. There's some issues with that broadcast that I have on a regular basis. But Jim's got to take care of Jim first, and hopefully he'll be healthy enough to call a match at somewhere down the line. It doesn't have to be in July.
Yeah. We had mentioned this earlier in the show, but it appears that NXT going to be losing some women. You mentioned Stephanie Vaquer dropping the NXT championship to JC Jane, and that has led to the speculation that she is going to be coming up to the main roster for WWE, as well as Jordynne Grace. As again, that to me was not as shocking either, because once Grace came over from TNA, it was sooner rather than later that she was going to end up on one of these two rosters. I don't know if they're going to be assigned. It seems like they typically would do a WWE draft around now. Don't know if that's been scrapped, if that's actually going to happen. But it seems that they're just going to be assigned different brands, and we're not going to be having a draft right now.
It's all about the future, Gabe. It's all about the future. Charlotte seems, even though she's on our TV, seems a little far away. Nia Jax. Becky's in a really good feud with Lyra, which is great because that helps Lyra. But I just feel like they're talking about the future now. You know, Julia and Stephanie Vaquer and Lyra and some of these, and Jordynne Grace, that's the future of the women's division. Let's see how they're booked. I know they can wrestle. But now from a personality standpoint, what can they do to get themselves over? That'll be interesting.
And again, one thing that we constantly, it seems like we're talking about, is the age of that WWE roster. So you've got Vaquer's 32, Julia's 31, and Grace is 29. That's going to help get that team, get that younger, and you mentioned the future, certainly worth pointing out. So we move to a lot of different options. We mentioned it was a busy week in wrestling. What did you have as your matches of the week?
Well, Gabe Neitzel, what we saw from AEW, Double or Nothing, was greater than anything we saw at WrestleMania.
Yes, I would agree.
And that's saying something, because WrestleMania was two nights and about two and a half nights of wrestling in Glendale, Arizona for AEW Double or Nothing. That says something when we talk about Cody Rhodes and John Cena and the star power of WrestleMania. But there was nothing greater than Ospreay against Paige. I mean, on WrestleMania. Think about that.
Nope. Nope.
I mean, that's the best match, and they're talking about like match of the year stuff right now, and I'm sure AEW will top it because that's what they do, because they're great with pay-per-view. But that's the best match I've seen from either company all year.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. I thought they started with Mercedes Moné and Jamie Hayter. I thought the way they started was fantastic. Giving them 20-plus minutes right out of the gate, hell yeah. I thought that was a fantastic way to set the tone for what was, again, probably a little too long, could trim some of the fat, but the action in the ring was fantastic. It just ends up being, you know, sometimes a little too much when you have 9 matches on the main card and you have multiple matches that go 35 plus minutes and even a couple more after that go 20 plus minutes. Just, you got a lot going on. You got a lot going on that card. But I thought Mercedes versus Hayter, I thought that really, really delivered early in the day as well.
Especially, and I'm a Jamie Hayter fan. I thought the story is a little lean from Jamie Hayter's standpoint, but the point is that those two delivered, and I like those two a lot in the ring. I'd love to see it more than once, but we got at least one time. Anarchy in the Arena also was one of the best things that I saw over the Memorial Day weekend. And again, stronger than anything besides WrestleMania. I just know that I was listening to a lot of Drowning Pool. I didn't think I'd like that song anymore when I hear it 6 times in the arena.
Well, I also love how they just kind of lean into the ridiculousness of the match, right? Yeah. Like, they start playing, I'm so excited, and like, Kenny's like, all right, well, I guess I got a fight with this song going on, and then gets on the mic and calls for, like, the bodies hit the floor. And it's such an incredibly hard match, I think, for the guys in the back to try to be able to get and time everything out, because it's literally going on outside the arena, in the ring, outside of the ring. There's so many bodies and so much action going on to be able to portray all that is happening. I thought they nailed it. It's always a Yeah, I thought it ended up being great. Sorry, we got kicked out of the room for a second, but we're still going.
Yes, no, I agree with that. Anarchy in the Arena was amazing, and this is why matches like that should be nominated away from wrestling for a television award, because it's live.
Yeah.
How do you do that for 30-plus minutes and know exactly what spot you're supposed to be in? I mean, in Hollywood, it's cut. Now we need this spot. Cut, we need but not in wrestling. How do you get all those things together? How do you walk through that early in the day? Like, we're going to do this spot. The camera's got to be here. I mean, to me, it was a cinematic wrestling greatness that we saw right then. Again, look, I'm a wrestling fan, so I could tolerate some things. But I know it was ridiculous, but it was fun. And it was amazing how all these wrestlers put it together.
If I will throw, I will throw one WWE, because again, it's tough to match what that card was. I really enjoyed Seth, Finn, and Sammy, the triple threat for the berth in Money in the Bank on Monday Night Raw. Thought it was a good, fun match. Kind of ended the way you thought it would. You get the shenanigans, the interference, everybody running in. CM Punk showing up after the match, I thought was an interesting decision, that he wants to be a thorn in Seth's side, but after Seth already won. Interesting, but the match itself was really, I mean, again, not shocking that you get 3 veterans like that in a ring, that they're going to be put on a competent triple threat match.
I thought it was very, very good from WWE. I would just tell you this, Gabe, WWE needs to start to cook a little bit more here, because I know they're fearful of AEW. That's why they have they're running opposition against AEW. But we talked about this a few weeks ago, and I said to you, what is the second act from WWE when you don't have the Bloodlines your number one? And I'm just saying, it's kind of like a simmer right now. Nothing's hot right now in WWE. John Cena's champion is a good story. Cody Rhodes coming back is a good story. But what AEW's doing right now, man, they got their ducks in a row. They really do. They're putting some good stuff on TV. Their pay-per-view is always going to be great. So they're counteract that with something really interesting. And again, Bloodline was number one. So what's your second act? And I don't know what that is yet.
I don't know if they know exactly what that is yet, as of right now either. But we're going to pay attention. We've got Money in the Bank coming up. We've got a lot of other things to dive into in the world of professional wrestling. It's going to be what I think is a very fun summer. But make sure, hey, you know, tune in each and every Thursday here on GKW. But also check us out. Comment, subscribe, YouTube page. If you happen to miss us earlier, the conversation that Brian had with Karrion Kross, check it out, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. As again, I always love it when Hoodie's in the ESPN Chicago studios because he finds things like CDs.
It says Killer Kross, see?
There you go. Killer Tracks. We'll talk about everything and maybe even including Killer Tracks next week right here on GKW.